I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the podcast for yet another week. We have 7 weeks to go for the year and it's really wrapping up towards a good Supercoach finale for 2018. Myself, Nick here, and special treat international guest this week, the intrepid traveller Wenin, has managed to pull himself away from the bar and give us half an hour of his time. Mate, how are you?
Yeah, two more margaritas, please. You're there.
You couldn't even put yourself away for half an hour.
Mate, when margaritas are $2, would you?
Oh, sounds good. It does sound good. I bet it's a bit warmer over there, mate. It's been absolutely freezing here as well.
Hanoi was unbearable. It was like 45, feels like over 50, the hottest conditions that I've ever experienced in my life. So we kind of did half a day touring and then went back to the hotel. I stayed at Airbnb, so we just wanted to get in the air conditioning, and that's all we can do. But progressively, the weather has got better as we've moved down the country. So we're a little bit below halfway at the moment in terms of Vietnam on a map, and it seems to be the weather's lovely as the further you get down south. So no complaints at the moment, mate. It's high 20s to mid-30s and really low humidity at the moment, which is good.
Oh, beautiful. Mate, I woke up on Sunday morning and the phone said, this is in Brisbane, 4.3 feels like 1.5.
Yeah, that's shit.
It's ridiculous. So cold.
Well, we haven't got to below 20 degrees for about 2 weeks, mate. So, thoroughly enjoying getting away from the Brisbane winter. And it's been lovely.
No, good, mate. Good. All right, let's get stuck into the Supercoach side of things. We'll do the usual around the grounds, teams, trades, and we'll focus a little bit on centre wing this week because that seems to be the position of the most contention at the moment. Around the grounds, I had about 1040, I think it was, dropped 16 spots. So I'm still in the 500s. So doing okay? How about yourself?
Yeah, I scored just a bit below 1,000 last week. I think everyone got caught out by a few players missing out and the like. But, I fell back 200 spots to just outside the top 1,000, so 1,166, so about 500 places back from you, mate. And you're really travelling well this season, so congrats.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, I'm looking good. Got a good side at the moment, apart from a couple of injuries, but that's all right. We can get them sorted this week. Let's go straight into the teams. I'll talk through a few games, mate, and then I'll hand over to you. We like to do this pretty quickly, obviously, because most people have seen the teams by now. Eels and the Bulldogs, Thursday night, shocker of a game. Zero relevance in the teams this week. Sharks and the Raiders is the early Friday game. Jesse Ramian is back at centre for the Sharks. And for the Raiders, obviously, we all know that Croker is out for the season. Abby is back at fullback, Kotrick's on the wing, and obviously Rapana returned last week as well. Broncos, Panthers, TPJ's into the second row for Jaden Sewer, who's out for the year. And for the Panthers, the Origin stars are back as well as Mansour and DWZ. Knights, Titans is the early game Saturday. Still no Ponga, Fitzgibbon returns and he's on the bench. And for the Titans, Arrow is back at lock after being a late withdrawal last week. Take us through the rest of them, mate.
Yeah, so nothing of relevance for the Tigers and the Rabbitohs. The Cowboys, you've got Cohen Hess, who starts in the second row. And for the Dragons, interestingly, the Nene McDonald has been named despite being injured. So for Kurt Mannion and such myself, it's very much a wait and see what happens there. For the Warriors, Tikiu has been dropped, and he got dropped from my side last week. The Storm You got Slater, Adokar, Chambers, Kafusi, and Munster all returning from Origin after being rested last week. For the Seagulls, no changes. Roosters, you got all the Origin guys back, plus Radley and Orbison. Madison has been benched, playing reduced minutes last week, and then and that's about it. So that wraps it all up, mates. And as you can see, there is quite a few changes, but nothing too dramatic. It's more a case of the Origin guys coming back into the fold, really.
Yeah, exactly. Croker being out, we all sort of knew that was going to be the case. And then Ponga, obviously, still a week away, which we all sort of knew as well. So I think we will we'll go straight into trade talk this week. Plenty to talk about. You know, we didn't cover the guys who we're going to talk about now in teams. We're going to talk about them all specifically as a part of trade talk. Let's talk about people who are being sold this week. A lot of the top 10 sells are pretty self-explanatory. The likes of Croker, Harris, Mann, Hiku, Riley Jacks, they sort of speak for themselves. I think if we start in the forwards with a couple of these guys, Pangai and Fifita are probably worth talking about briefly. I think Pangai is definitely a hold, even though he's starting in the other back row for the Broncos. Injury concerns, don't think he's going to play 80 minutes, high break even this week. And Fifita, I've been holding Fifita and trying to tough it out, but I think I'm at the point now where I'm going to sell him this week as well. Just not getting the minutes, not having the impact. Looks overweight to me, looks unfit. Obviously, that knee's really troubling him, and I'm going to sell him this week. So for me, Pangai and Fifita are both sells this week.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got both, and I'm holding on to both of them. I just don't have the trades, unfortunately, to get rid of them. You've also got Jaden Sewer, who is out for the rest of the season, so that potentially means that Pangai Jr. could play some pretty big minutes in the second row for the run home, which you know, he's going to be a bit of a pod with considering that he's being sold out of a few sides. Ponga, I think, is a really good hold. Because he should be back next week. Even Asako, I'm surprised that people are trading Jermaine Asako as well, because he has been really, really good in his rookie season, and we know how bad the centre wing position has been. And then lastly with Fifita, yeah, I'm just going to hold him there and hope that he comes good. And even if he doesn't, I'm luckily, I don't have to play him in my 17, so my forward pack is pretty stacked, so I'll just be holding him for the moment.
Yeah, the other thing I'm actually looking at is potentially trading Ryan James instead of Fifita. I'm looking to get Crichton into my side for one of those two guys, and I'm obviously looking to get rid of Croker this week as well. So if I trade Fifita to Crichton, the best I can do for Croker is probably like a Nofaluma. But if I trade James for Crichton, I could then go Croker to Alex Johnson, basically. So I'm thinking of potentially Ryan James as a sell this week as well. Had those big games, but without the tries, he's about a 55 average.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I think next week, I mean, last week was probably your week to trade him, right? Because he dropped in value by about 40K. So he had that break even 118, 142 this week, so very high. And you're right, without those tries, he's nothing better than a 50 to 60 average player. However, on the weekend, he had base points per game 64 and you know, a few reductions in errors and penalties conceded that got him down to 56. So considering how poor the front row has been this year, much like the centre wing options, and you know, he looms as being one of the top four guys for the run home. Fifita has really, really fallen off, but it just depends on the structure of your side. I mean, that's a luxury trade for me to bring Crichton in, and just depends on how you're going, particularly with your fullbacks and also your centre wings.
I'm going pretty good. Yeah, pretty good.
Okay, what's your current centre wing made up of at the moment, mate? And then I'll tell you how good you're going.
Croker, Masters, Aitken, and Nene.
Yeah, you're struggling, mate. So I would be holding the trades that you're doing there and just strengthening centre wing, because I think you're in a pretty similar position to me.
Yeah, it's tough in centre wing. I did go near Corey from the Eels last week for Kurt Mann, so I do have him sitting there as coverage, and I'm probably going to play him this week, I think. Just lock in, you know, hopefully 50 points on a Thursday night there. Yep. But I mean, it's that Alex Johnson versus Nofaluma for Croker is, you know, is it worth that extra money, I suppose, to get Johnson over someone like a Nofo?
Yeah, look, I don't think you need to. Well, we can get into the centre wing discussion pretty soon, but you've got Nofo that's on a break even around about 17 and AJ of 25. One needs to be traded in this week, the other one doesn't. So it just depends on your numbers in the centre wing. And personally, I would like to see one more week out of Nofo with these really high base stats and just to see if he can. It's something we can expect for the remainder of the season or whether it's just isolated to a couple of games.
Yeah, fair enough. Some of the more popular trade-ins this week, the centre wings I'm just going to list because, like you said, we are going to talk about them in a bit more detail. So Rapana, Hopewade, Holmes, Masters and Hayne and Latrell we will talk about later. In the forwards, some of the more traded-in guys, Angus Crichton, Kikau, Jake Turbo and Jai Arrow. I don't mind any of those guys. Crichton, Trbojevic and Arrow are both obviously all, you know, premium guns, and if you don't have them, no reason why you shouldn't get on them. Viliame Kikau is an interesting one. Starting in the second row again this week, four forwards on the Panthers bench, so, you know, a few people talking that he might not get the full 80. He's just an attacking beast. Probably had 25 points in the last 30 seconds of the game last week with that run, which was excellent for people like myself who played him on that Friday night. Obviously, if you're owning him, you're not selling him, and potentially you're playing him this week as well. But I don't know, mate. I think that you're a non-owner. Have you looked at buying him at all?
No, not at all. And I don't think you can discuss trading Ryan James if you are an owner and they're looking to bring in someone like Kikau, because effectively they're all very similar, albeit that James's base stats or floor is probably about 10 points higher than Kikau's. So if you look at Kikau's past 3 weeks where he's played big minutes on the edge, he's got base stats of 38, 44 and 46 points per game. It's all those attacking stats, as you kind of acknowledged at the start of talking about him. And yeah, I just couldn't be bringing him in. It's definitely chasing points. And yeah, he scored those 30 points in one or two odd plays in the game. And that's really where that's come from. And yeah, I'm probably just sounding like a very, very disgruntled non-owner here, really. But I wouldn't be looking to trade him in where you compare him to a Crichton or an Arrow or even a Jake Trbojevic. I mean, they're lock and load top 17 guys for the run home and definitely captain options as well. And I think in the forwards, you're not really going to struggle. No matter who you pick, it's pretty safe, particularly in the second row this year, to get guys that you know they're going to produce. And I just don't think that Kikau should be there ahead of, you know, three to half a dozen other guys.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I think a James or Fifita to a Crichton is an upgrade, but definitely not to a Kikau. Crichton, Arrow, Trbojevic, Taumalolo, you know, even Marty Tapau, if you don't have him, I think he's an option, but I wouldn't be trading any of those guys to Kikau. But for people like myself who own him and have been sitting on him, it's been a good fortnight, that's for sure. All right, we might just take a quick pause there for a word from our sponsor, and we'll be back in a second to talk center wing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, so center wing, mate, would you agree that it is the position of the most interest this week?
Mate, it's been the position of the most interest of the whole year. And just having a look at my current center wing, which contains Alex Johnson, Jared Croker, David Fusatua, and Ewan Aiken, you know, they're none of those players who I was really looking at the start of the season, and there's probably about half a dozen other guys that I could have in there at this point in time as well. It's just been that kind of year.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, Masters, you know, I didn't really know a lot about him before the start of the year, to be honest. Aitken's come on, and hopefully he'll continue going over the next 6 or 7 weeks with the Dragons' good schedule, which is why it's hurt so much that Nene got injured, because that good schedule was obviously the reason why myself and a number of others jumped on him. So not ideal there.
So what's the prognosis on that? He's been named this week, but you know, as a current owner, you seem a bit sceptical that he'll line up. So do you think it's just a bit of smoke and mirrors at the moment and he won't play, or what is, how long is he meant to be out for?
Yeah, look, I don't have any inside scoop aside from the news that I read earlier in the week that it was a 4-week injury and then all of a sudden he's named. So I don't think he can go from 4 weeks to 0 weeks. It might go from 4 weeks to 2 weeks maybe, but I don't know if it can go from 0 weeks, and I'm hoping to get a bit more information before Friday night.
Yeah, okay. So as a man owner, you're probably going to want to be holding on to man as long as possible, would you? I mean, they play North Queensland away this weekend, and from memory, North Queensland doesn't concede too many points to outside back. So regardless, it shapes up as a difficult weekend, and I think his break-even is around about 20 as well.
Yeah, I'd still be holding him. Like you say, he could get 3 or 4 weeks here of playing on the wing with a good draw coming up. So I would definitely be holding man if I had him. Like you say, break-even's low this week. It's going to jump next week, but there's no need to trade him this week, I don't think.
Yep, okay. Well, just going to say, should we just jump straight into talking about the centre wings?
Yeah, let's do it. So I've copied a few tables here from Twitter. One of the draft accounts, which is at 3WiseDraftMen, has done a few tables up here with the positional analysis for the run home. So I might, I'll upload this on the post along with the podcast, but it's got sort of left center, right center, etc., through left wing, right wing, and all the way through to fullback. And I think we should start with Alex Johnson, probably the pick of the centre wings for the run home. He's got the fourth best draw of any fullback, and his sort of predicted average, I'm not exactly sure how this table works, but his predicted average is the best out of all the centre wings. The only people on this table ahead of him are fullbacks only in RTS, Tedesco and Billy Slater. So I would have Alex Johnson number one on the centre wing must-have list for the run home.
Yep, that's why I grabbed him last week. So really confident that he'll do well for the run home. And you're right that the Rabbitohs have a fantastic draw ahead. So this week they've got a game against West away, and then they've got the Eels, and then they've got the Storm Roosters, which will be quite hard. But then they've got the Broncos, Raiders and Tigers to finish off the season. So, yeah, I think that he's a pretty safe pick. Low break even this week, so this is kind of your last opportunity, I think, to really get him. And then, you know, he's going to be priced pretty high after this week, you'd think.
Yeah, definitely. He'll be up probably 620, 630, so I'll be definitely looking to bring him in this week. Number two who I would have on my list would probably be Masters. West Tigers have got an okay draw. Souths, then Bulldogs, Newcastle, then Canberra. So a few good games there. But then they do play St. George, Manly, and then the Rabbitohs again to finish off. But pretty good, pretty solid there. I think most people have probably already got Masters in their side anyway. So we might just skip over him. Do you want to talk about Hopewade next?
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's massively chasing last week's points. If you look at before the 140, he scored 36, 47, 39 and 58. Scores of 36 and 47 were for fullback. So I'm not entirely convinced that the shift to that position with him by going out is, you know, going to result in him producing anything like the 140 that he did last week. So I would be definitely avoiding him, and dare I say it, mate, it is a fantastic banner opportunity for yourself this weekend.
Definitely. I agree. It's massively chasing last week's points. He had 10 offloads and a heap of tackle busts and everything. So not for mine. You know, he was 430K before last week, just to give you an idea of how well he was going before that 135. Jesse Ramian is a no for me as well. If you look him up, he's actually been scoring 60s the last month or so, but he scored a try with a line break in every single game. So, you know, you take a couple of those out and you're looking at 35s, 30 to 35s. So he's not going to score a try every single week. The Sharks have got a decent draw. They do play Melbourne and the Broncos, but apart from that, those are the only two top eight sides that they play the rest of the way home. But he just, with those tries, I don't think he can keep scoring tries every week, and for that reason, he's a no for me.
Yeah, I mean, I did look at that too, but you also need to acknowledge that he's got base points per game in these weeks of over 30. So that's pretty good for a centre winger, right? And he's played three teams in the top eight over this period as well. And the run home is, for me, is a lot easier than what he's been up against in the past 5 weeks. So my biggest thing is he's priced, is no value at the moment at his current price. So I probably wouldn't be touching him. But jumping on 1 or 2 weeks ago was probably the time, but he's not the worst pick for me.
Okay. What do you think about Aitken? 484K, good draw coming up.
Yeah, and I think you've pointed out that the Dragons have one of the best, or if not the best, draw ahead, and I don't see any issue with the Nene McDonald injury, and I don't really think that impacts him, given, you know, he's just a base point beast in the centre wing and has been all year. He's had a couple of disappointing games just before the buys, but apart from that, he's been fantastic. So, I think he'll finish within the first top four or six centre wings for the year.
Okay. Okay, so we sort of think Alex Johnson, Masters and Aitken are good options there. There's a heap of players who you could go for your fourth or fifth centre wing. First three of them all play on the Roosters. You've got Madison, Ferguson and Luttrell. So Madison obviously came back first game in a long time last week, started, but then, only played about 50 minutes or so, I think. Named to start off the bench this week, could potentially be a late change there to start. 537K, I would like to wait at least a week or two. I'd like to see an 80-minute performance from him before I jumped on. Blake Ferguson would be a no for me. He had a couple of good games mid-season. He's got the second highest average of any centre wing this year, only behind Madison. But just 600K, I couldn't pay it for him. And then Luttrell, I had him earlier in the year. He was up and down. He's too up and down. I don't know if he's going to finish the year as well as he started with the Origin performance in the middle of the year. I think that might have taken a bit out of him. So for me, it would be a no on Fergo, a no on Luttrell, and a wait and see a couple of weeks on Madison.
Yeah, I think you're pretty much spot on there. Unfortunately, with two of those guys, Madison and Ferguson, they've got very high break-even, so there's no need to make a move this week. And, you know, Maddo coming back in his first game in 6 weeks, as I said, started on the edge, played 46 minutes, and now has been relegated for Radley, who has been playing really, really good in his absence. Break-even of 114, so no need to bring him in this week. You can probably wait a couple of weeks, and then, you know, his value is going to be extremely hard to ignore, close to 450, particularly if he starts playing upwards of 70 minutes in the back row. Ferguson, yeah, I think you. I know that you were really keen to bring him in a couple of weeks, but thankfully you decided against that. Attacking stats have really fallen right off in the past 2 weeks, but, you know, he's still smashing out really good base points at 35 points per game. I think he was always overpriced during that buy period, but with a break-even of 141, I think he's going to be really good value for the run home. So he's another player that I'd probably be saving a trade for and waiting till his price comes right down. Just playing in a good side, I think he... and with those base points, he's going to be a centre wing that I'll probably be targeting, but waiting to get quite a few dollars or few hundred, or maybe even $50,000 to $60,000 of his current value at the moment. And then, yeah, Latrell, I mean, for me, his floor is just too low, given he's got such poor base points per game. But I guess in saying that, he's only scored 50 just once in the past six games. So the base points aren't there, but the attacking stats have been.
Yeah, he's very frustrating to have in your side because he'll, you know, he'll be brilliant for 5 or 10 minutes, and then he just won't do anything for 70 minutes. So
yeah, I kind of think that's all he needs to do. And maybe one of the biggest concerns with him is just, what is he, 21, 22, played a full Origin series. Can he sustain the workload for the run home, or is he just going to kind of die off a bit? Because this has been the most football that he's probably ever played in his life.
Yeah, agreed. The next one on our list is Valentine Holmes, and he's a no for me. A few people have spoken about this. I think just the spectre of Dugan coming back and pushing Holmes to the wing makes him a no for me. He had a few games on the wing earlier in the year, and he scored 6, 27, 68, 38, 33, 47, and then he did, and then 40, and then he turned up against the Knights. So his average on the wing is significantly lower than fullback. He's had four really good weeks, or probably five really good weeks, actually, but break even of 88 this week, and with Dugan coming back, Holmes is probably likely to go back to the wing. So for that reason, I couldn't pay over 600K for him.
No, and I think this year, if there's any season at all that we've experienced where you should not pay top dollar for a centre wing, it is this year. It has not worked out well for anyone, and the only player that I can think of that it has is Madison before he got injured. So, you can't discredit what he's done. No score under 60 in the past five rounds, but you've pointed out the risk around Dugan, and I'm not even going to pretend to know that much about the Sharks to say what's going to happen when he comes back. But, yeah, he's just not of any value at the moment, and there are probably about half a dozen other guys that offer a lot more, which I'm sure we're going to talk about pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you can get the likes of the next two guys who we're going to talk about, Rapana and Nofo, for, you know, 150K, 140K less, it rules Holmes out for me. So Rapana, mate, came back on the weekend, 95 points, scored two tries. His three games before that, or one of them was the injury game, I suppose, but 49, 47, and then 40 in the game that he got injured. One good game since he came back, but I don't know. He just wasn't doing it this year before he got injured, and I had him, traded him, which is probably one of the reasons why I can't go back, but I just didn't see it from him in the start of the year, and one good game isn't enough for me.
Yeah, look, the attacking stats just weren't there for him before he got injured, and what he had, 5 tries up until round 14. For a winger, and the amount of ball that he was seeing, that's just completely abnormal compared to what we saw last year. I think he scored over 20 tries. What's been really good is just the points without those tries have been consistently in the 40s or even the low 50s. And the big thing for me, mate, is just the return of Josh Hodgson to the Raiders. So since he returned, I think, in round 15, the Raiders have averaged 40 points per game. So I know they've got a tough draw coming up, but I think that gets cancelled out with the inclusion of Hodgson to their side. And also, the other benefit potentially is the injury to Croker, and now do they just go through the Leipana edge with their attack all the time, and potentially just see Kotrick's output fall off a cliff with Croker not playing inside him?
Yeah, look, maybe. Look, I mean, I definitely have Rapana ahead of the guys who we just spoke about in, you know, Ferguson, Latrell and Val Holmes. I definitely have Rapana ahead of them, but I just think that, yeah, look, if he can show it if he can have another good score this week, then I'll think about him the week after.
Yeah, if you just look at what he did the month before he got injured, so from round 10 through to round 14, I know you've just pointed out the scores, 57, 49, 47, 40. He's only scored two tries over that period and very, very limited attacking stats. So whilst I'm you know, he's got some evading there, but, you know, not too much else from anything that we would expect from a winger, so minimal line breaks and that kind of stuff. So I just think of the value and what the player that you're getting, the kind of qualities, is kind of hard to, a bit hard to pass up at the moment.
Okay. I'm going to sort of contradict myself a bit here because I do like Nofaluma more than Rapana, but I'm just looking at his stats here on NRLSupercoachStats.com, and he's sort of come back and had one good game after being fairly mediocre before injury as well. And it's a bit contradictory of myself to say that I'm all over Nofo and Rapana's trash when, yeah, they're very similar situations. Nofo did have a couple of larger scores before he got injured with a 61, 43, and then an 83. You know, that's about a 60 average there. But came back on the weekend against St. George and scored 87. Souths this week, which will definitely be a tough matchup. Bulldogs, Newcastle, and then the Raiders the next three. What do you think about Nofo, and what do you think about Nofo compared to Rapana?
Yeah, so I really like his form, to be honest, because round 18 with his first match since round 13, and then if you look back at round 13, he scored, well, I think, only around about 20 points, but he also played just around 30 minutes as well, and before that, he scored 83 points in 80 minutes, but the best thing about that score, mate, was 42 base points per game. And what does he do in his first match back? 87 points in 80 minutes with 46 of those from base. So if you even just look at those three games in isolation, that's just kind of screaming, this is the Nofo of 2017, right? If you take even that injury-interrupted game, his base was 17 of total points of 21. So to me, that's really, really good. And I don't just think it's one game out of the whole season. He's done what we kind of expected him to do in the preseason over the past 3 weeks. And it's another one at Rapana, that value that he's quite hard to pass up on this week. But with the high break-even of around about 70, it's definitely an opportunity for us just to watch him this weekend and to see, you know, if this kind of output from him is sustained or whether it's a bit of a flash in the pan.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you make a good point there. A lot of these guys do have high break-evens, don't they? So it's, you know, it's not like if you're that worried, you don't actually have to jump on a lot of these guys this week, apart from probably Alex Johnston. They're not going to skyrocket up in price.
Just having Rapana's the only other one, mate, with a low break-even too.
Okay. I'm just having a little look at the Tigers side because obviously Nofo was in and out a bit at the start of the year. They've obviously got Corey Thompson on one wing, Umbai's back at fullback, and MWZ is in the extended bench. So MWZ was getting a bit of a run earlier in the year. But obviously with Fanua injured, you've got Nagama there in the centres as well. So basically Nofo's locked in there, it would appear, with the injury to Fanua, and then MWZ in the 21 jersey, seemingly out of favour. So it's a bit of a tough call between the two of those guys, I think.
It is a tough call, and that's probably why I'll be bringing them both in, but maybe 1 week after the other, I'd say, and just, as I said, just bringing in Rapana this week and then waiting on Nofaluma to see if, you know, if he puts in another cracking game or gets base over 35, then I'll be just jumping all over him next weekend. But if he doesn't, then there's just a heap of other options that are going to be decreasing in price a lot over the coming weeks.
Okay. Now, one of the guys who I've heard that you're thinking about bringing in is Jarryd Hayne. Is that true?
Mate, in the run sheet here, when you've provided this to me, I've simply just written next to it, who? ?
Mate, 3-round average of 75.
Yeah, and I also saw that Carlos Dwarf, who writes our buy, sell, hold, in his great article today, it says that basically if you look at the games where he's played 80 minutes, he's scored over 60 this season. So I don't know, mate. I don't know. I think it's just something I haven't looked at all, just because I've got an image in my head of him just being horrible. But if you do have a look at his stats, he's actually been quite good.
Yeah, and you probably wouldn't have seen the game on the weekend, and I didn't watch the whole game, to be honest, but I saw the highlights, and he had a couple of really good runs, set Corey Norman up for an excellent try, where he was, you know, brushing off defenders like it was the Hayne plane of old. So, yeah about the same price, though, as Rapana and Nofo, and I would still put him behind those two.
Yeah, so just looking at what he's done so far, so I was a little bit misleading with what I said before, because in his first two games, he scored 36 and 29 in 80 minutes, so it's more the average this season of when he's played 80 minutes, the average of those games, he scored over 60 points. So, yeah, it's still quite impressive because he obviously had two really poor performances in round three and also round seven, but he played 29 and 30 minutes just there. So if you just look at what he's done since round 14, as I said, 82, 46, 76 and 103. I mean, that's the Jarryd Hayne of old. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe you take a punt. He's got a break even and negative nine. I couldn't imagine that he'd be owned by too many teams at the moment. So maybe it's worth the gamble.
Yeah, potentially. Does have a really tough Supercoach finals run. Last 4 weeks, they played Dragons, Storm, and then Cowboys, but then they finished with the Roosters. A Cowboys game is away as well. Mm-hmm. So that's as tough last 4 weeks as it comes.
I think we just need to stop saying that the Cowboys are going to be tough opponents now, mate. Yeah, surely, surely they've just crumbled and given up on the season.
Yeah, I think so. Another one who I just wanted to mention just very briefly was Solomone Carter, who's gone on a bit of a run and played very well on the weekend, carving the Broncos up. Mate, it was really funny after the game. I said to my wife, I said, "Oh, mate, Warriors smashed them, didn't they?" And she's like, "Yeah, that guy with the long hair, he was everywhere." And I was like, "Oh, that's because there's about four of them that look exactly the same."
So what does he have? Does he have the braids, or does he just have this the long kind of like fro? Or what's
he's got the braids, same as Parsi, same as Papa Lee, and I think one of the other forwards has got the same do as well, one of the bench forwards.
Scary looking mofos, those guys.
Yeah, but 94 on the weekend. He only scored 26 the week before, so I don't think he's the legit option, but the Warriors do have a decent draw on the way home after this week with the Titans, the Knights, the Bulldogs, and the Raiders, four of their last six games. So maybe worth a look, but probably behind the other guys. Anything on Mansour that you wanted to cover?
No, I've really looked at him too much, but I guess he is playing in one of the better sides in the competition. So I'm just going to pull up what he's done so far now, returning from... So this is his first game back from injury since round six, right? And before that, he played quite well. He obviously had that poor game in round six where he got injured and only played 43 minutes. But before that, he had scores of 40, 59, 59, 27 and 63 and only two tries for the season. So he was kind of shaping as being maybe a top 4 to 6 centre wing. So... yeah, it's another one that we can wait on. Break even to 73, plus he's coming back from that really bad facial injury where he almost, I think, lost an eye. So, I'd be waiting on him, and he's just another option that if Ofolomo doesn't pan out, then you've got someone like Mansour to jump on. And the what about a guy that I was pretty keen about in the preseason, mate, who's also missed a lot of this season? The other Roosters winger that we kind of maybe forgotten about.
Oh, you love this bloke.
But, I don't know. What about Tupou? He's down to 403,000, averaged close to 60 last year, playing in a side that seems to be getting better, I guess, although they had a bit of a weird game against the Titans last week. So opened the season really poorly with scores of 29 and 11. But since then... when he returned from injury in round 13, he's had scores 66, 28, 66, 28, 43. So looks pretty much rocks and diamonds with him, unless he's scoring tries. His base is a bit down from what he produced last year too. So, I'm probably not someone for me at this stage, but I can see others getting a little bit excited.
No one is getting excited. You're the only one talking about him.
And it's not true.
And you talk about him every year, and he's rubbish every year.
But the only reason I'm talking him up is because I think I've got a stake bet somewhere about where he
is. I think we made a stake bet about Hopper that I'm definitely on the wrong side of, but I'm going to choose to forget that one.
Nah, I remember that one, mate. I remember that.
So, centre wings for me, it's Johnston, Masters and Aitken at the top. This week in particular, I think it's Rapana and Nofo next after them. Excuse me. Madison potentially the week after. Hopewade's a pass, Ramian's a pass, and yeah, Ferguson, Latrell, Holmes, I'm going to pass on. And I'm not overly against Hayne as an option. That's how
you've
I feel.
You have to trade in Hayne.
I know. I kind of do. I'm kind of feeling it.
I think you should. You're in sneaky position here to get top 100, which would be incredible. And Hayne would be a massive pod for the run home.
Yeah, well, Nofo would be a pod as well, which is why I'm thinking of going him. I've got the 6 trades left and about 150K in bank, so I'm sitting okay from that perspective. And I think I'm going to go Nofo, I think. Nofo in, Croker out. Just chuck Nene on the bench and play my boy Niokore.
Yeah, right. Well, what about if you're looking, they're very similar price at the moment. You've got Rapana and a Jared Hayne. You know, generally any day of the week, you just get on Rapana, but, you are kind of being misguided a bit by someone's form from last year versus someone that's just at their actual, for the best form they've been since he left the NRL.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I agree. And then, Para's draw is, yeah, well, we just covered it, actually. It's a little bit tough. Dragons, Melbourne, Roosters, 3 of the last 4. Souths next week. Bulldogs this week, and then the Titans in 2 weeks' time. I think it's a tough draw, and that's why I'm staying away from Rapana as well. Tough draw for him also.
So Hayne's produced all these big scores, though, in the past few weeks against the Cowboys, the Rabbitohs, they got 46, and then against the Dragons and the Knights, he got 76 and 103. And I think that round 16 was when players were returning from Denver as well, so probably caught the Dragons players on the bounce there. And then people have been scoring a lot of points against Newcastle. And then, yeah, we've just discussed the Cowboys and how poor they've been. So, you know, he's got an easiest game coming up this week, and then he's got a full strength Rabbitohs, which he only scored 46 points against, and then he's got the Titans, which, you know, should be happy days for him, and then it gets a lot tougher from then on.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Vice captain, just quickly before we let you go back down to the bar, I'm thinking of Reece Martin, straight captain Thursday night.
Yep, don't hate it. Don't hate it at all. I've got my VC on Martin at the moment, but I'll be looking around to see who my potential AE will be. I'm still carrying Orbison, unfortunately, and I've got Katoa, and I've also got Kurt Mann. So it doesn't look good to be able to use my VC, and Martin's not going to score 140s each week. The only thing that I'm thinking about is that he's going to be a very, very popular captain option this week, so maybe looking to avoid that, and currently thinking about Jai Arrow, who'll be fresh and rested after having a week off, and he's a pretty much a lock-in bet for 70 plus points, you'd think.
Yeah, I don't mind him up against the Knights. I don't think people have set their captains this yet, because Smithy is still well ahead of with Cook and Taumalolo. At the moment, only 1.2% of people are on Reece Martin. He's number 14 on the list. So I think a lot of people are going to go Smith again or Damian Cook.
Yeah, people are just probably pretty nervous about putting on a rookie, but you've got an 80-minute edge forward that kicks goals. It's pretty hard to pass up, and he's in over 35% of teams at the moment. So if he's only got that low captain numbers at the moment, then, you're probably right, mate. People are going to be looking for the more well-known options.
Yeah, yep. Okay, mate. All right, well, look, thank you very much for giving up your time to jump on. I hope you keep enjoying the trip, and we'll try and catch up with you again sometime in a few weeks.
No, that's good. I think just before we finish the podcast, mate, I just wanted to give a big shout-out to our mate Banyo Boy, who we know is going through a pretty tough time at the moment, and just, mate, we're all behind you. Everyone's behind you, so all the best, and, all, I hope everything works out really well for yourself and your family. You definitely don't deserve this, and I know we got some good news the other day, and just hope it continues to go well for you, mate. So we're all thinking of it.
Yes, definitely, of course. And a bit of a one-hit wonder, old Banyo, struggling a bit this year, but got a lot of other things going on. So I think he's got a bit of a fair excuse. But, yeah, good to have some good news there, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, mate. Well, like I said, enjoy the drinks. Speak to you in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, cool. See you later.
See you, mate.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.